Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on your time zone. Welcome to Decrypting AI from the Emerging Tech team at Decrypt. I am Ryan Ozawa, Emerging Tech Editor, and I am joined by talented, intrepid, handsome Emerging Tech reporter, Jason Nelson. How are you doing this morning?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm hanging in. You know, can't complain in Honolulu. Things in LA, hopefully, relatively stable.
Well, we got some more rain on the way, apparently, so we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, heading into April, it's definitely the rainy season out here as well. But from what I'm told, rain in Hawaii is also just about as mild as you can imagine. And having experienced sleet visiting the East Coast, I know that we're very, very lucky. Well, small talk about weather is probably the worst thing to spend time on during a live broadcast. Let's get to the artificial intelligence stories. What did you want to talk about first this week, sir?
Well, I kind of wanted to start with one that we covered late last week so there was a stage and film actress named, what's her name? Sarah Poizer.
Oh, gosh, yes.
In the UK. And she was starring in a production. They didn't say if it was a film production or a movie production, but she was already cast as a character. And her character was supposed to have a death scene. So instead of bring her in to film the death scene so they could record the audio, or even calling her in to do a voiceover, like you can do in post-production, they just used AI. And I don't think it would have been that big of a deal if she had not have shared the email that the production company supposedly sent amongst themselves, basically saying, we don't need her. We can just use AI. Sorry for the delay. We have had the approval of BBC to use the AI-generated voice, so we don't need Sarah anymore. Which is kind of cold-blooded. I mean, I don't think that they meant it to sound the way it sounded, but it sounded really bad, and it just took off on social media as just another example of AI being used to replace human creators.
I was very unclear about the circumstances. I believe that email was to her voiceover agency. It's a company that just helps people book people for voiceovers. They probably really liked Sarah Poizer's voice. I don't know if she had done work on this production previously and they were trying to get some pickups after editing. You know, you mentioned the dying character and all of that. It was very messy, but basically they said, well, turns out we can use AI to get what we need Sarah Poizer's voice to say, so we don't need to hire her, the person. So in aggregate, what you said is absolutely true. This is basically a human losing a job to AI, and apparently an AI that's trained on her voice so that she can be replaced so easily. And absolutely the nightmare scenario that has been at the heart of the labor disputes in the entertainment industry against the studios.
I think for me, what makes it so interesting is also the fact that this is another example of the kind of jobs AI will directly affect first. Because over the years, we've always assumed that it would be manufacturing, it would be truck drivers or driverless cars, it would be things like that. Turns out it's these entertainment, white collar jobs that I guess people didn't think would be the target of where these jobs would go, where these technologies will go first. But I mean, this is a clear indication that it's not coming for the plumbers. It's
it's the exact opposite. And I've actually been able to participate in panels or conferences about this. I mean, what we're talking about with AI is the disruption of knowledge industries, which is the opposite of the Industrial Revolution and automation. So before we were talking about factory workers, which of course are still going to be endangered by the advent of AI, as we've also covered. But now you're saying, oh, you know, all of these white collar skills that you would go to college for and spend on money on your education for, that's also being disrupted because we can get writing out of AI. We can get accounting out of AI. We can get, yes, creative industries, script writers, talent, designers, imagers, architecture, like almost everything is being disrupted. And when you mentioned plumbers, I've told my kids, like, that's probably really where the future is, because we're a little bit further away from a robot that can show up at your house, squeeze into your tiny bathroom and unclog your toilet. So if you are a plumber or a Finnish carpenter or anything like that, you probably have better job security in this new post AI world than you do as a computer programmer.
As someone who just had to deal with busted pipes, I would look forward to that robot.
you're hoping that the robots will come for your plumber's job. I get it. I can appreciate the pain for sure.
It was a mess.
All right. Did you want to talk about Billie Eilish? Speaking of entertainment. Yeah. So, what's happening?
All right. So we had this was yesterday. The Artist Rights Alliance, another group sounding the alarm about artificial intelligence, published a letter co-signed by over 200 artists and musicians and songwriters. There's even some actors in it that basically said, you know, we're standing up for responsible AI use. Don't use AI to steal artists' work, et cetera. Things we've heard plenty of times before. But I think what I found most interesting about this letter was who was signing it. Because like you said, like we said in the headline, Billie Eilish, Nicki Minaj, Pearl Jam, R.E.M., Greta Van Fleet. Elvis Costello.
200 artists is pretty wide. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely not going to read them all, but very, very recognizable names. Names that you probably didn't know about. The Estate of Bob Marley is on.
Right. There. Well, and then the other one that's interesting is the estates, right? So like the estate of Bob Marley signed it, the estate of Frank Sinatra signed it. And the reason why I thought that was interesting was because we have estates also working with AI developers to bring these people back to life, right? Like we covered Marilyn Monroe a few weeks ago.
Right, actually, you can see the use case for estates makes sense from a logistical standpoint. The talent is no longer around. If you want to generate content based on a deceased artist, the estate can approve that. And there's opportunity. They can continue the legacy of their former family member or, you know, the artist in question and generate revenue going forward too. So that makes sense. But what we just talked about with Sarah Poyser and what we're talking about here is these are obviously living artists who need to earn a living today, and they do not want AI to basically undervalue, they talk about, you know, the importance or undermine or replace the human artistry of songwriters and artists, deny fair compensation.
Well, and it also speaks to a conversation we had late last year. It might have been early this year, where the Stability AI executive publicly quit because he didn't like the company's stance on fair use. And he's been out there really advocating for proper compensation, proper disclosure as to where this stuff is coming from. And one of the things that we still have to deal with these companies that have already released these models, they're not going to tell you where they got their data from. And if they do, it's going to be some high-level tech jargon that hardly anybody understands. All the while, this stuff is already out there.
Well, I was actually kind of interested when we talked about Perplexity and, you know, how one of their core principles is citation, you know, the academic practice and journalistic practice of saying, hey, you know, actually greenhouse gases have gone, you know, the growth has gone down by 0.3% in the last 6 years, and they will cite, you know, United Nations or something like that for the stat. What I thought is interesting about their ability to do that is that what a lot of the other artificial intelligence companies with large language models, which are built out of information hoovered up across the internet without discrimination, is that, oh, well, we can't get the actual, you know, material back out of our model because it's just math. It's just algorithms and stuff. So turns out, yes, it is possible to disclose where the information came from. It's not just a big giant jumble of data that is, you can't tell one thing from another. So, I mean, it's certainly a good differentiator and something that I think we are probably going to see more and more, if not legislation, certainly ethical policies to require that practice.
Yeah, the way I imagine it's going to play out, it's going to be a as of this date type situation. You can't do XYZ. Mm-hmm. And because they're not going to be able to backtrack over it. I mean, I guess they could, like you just explained how the data is. But it would be easier just to say starting July 1st, 2024, you can no longer use private data.
Right. Yeah. But the challenge being that actually the whole of human knowledge that is accessible on the internet as of 2 years ago is already hoovered up, already sucked up and in these models. So to say, okay, and well, going forward, you know, that's going to be a tiny, tiny fraction of a fraction of actual data. So the metaphors about horses leaving barns and such are and genies in bottles are certainly relevant. Well, let's stay in the world of AI and entertainment and talk about gaming. This is another great story that you filed on April Fool's Day. And it talks about one of the most popular franchises in gaming, World of Warcraft, and Blizzard's position on AI.
It's interesting because I've been a World of Warcraft player since Burning Crusade, which is their first expansion like 10 years ago. And I always assumed there was some type of AI helping this, like this image be created. Like, I didn't think it was a person sitting with a pencil, but it is. It is a group of highly talented artists and creatives behind the scenes doing it. But what's happening here is Blizzard, just like most AAA studios, are trying to leverage AI in the creation process. Mm-hmm. And so what this, it was a interview that IGN did at GDC, where the franchise head of Warcraft basically said, we use it, but mostly in streamlining character development. So like clothing, armor, things like that, little minute details that a person may miss. And he highlighted that we don't use generative AI in the game, which to me is like, okay, well, are you saying you don't use it in the talking? Like when I'm interacting with this NPC, that's not generative AI, but the mountain range we're standing on is. So, you know, so it's like kind of hopping around here, guys.
It's a distinction without a difference. It's not in the game, but it's in the, you know, inventory and stuff. Like, I thought that was fascinating. It would make sense that they want to kind of insulate their marquee property against the backlash that we're seeing across the game and entertainment industry about artificial intelligence. But it was sort of a way, it seemed like a way for them to say that it's already part of their process, but it's not anywhere that you're going to worry about. What I think was neat about the interview that he did with IGN was that they're talking about, oh, it takes the busy work out. Like, we don't really want to pay an artist to come up with 17 variations of armor with different metals and have to shape it or draw it around, you know, large characters, small characters, tall, short, et cetera, elves, dogs, whatever. You know, that's a lot of work for an artist to have to do. But that sort of work is trivial for an AI, generative AI tool. And it's certainly not a large step to say that, well, now that we've gotten good at that, why not let AI do all of the image generation across the board? Like, you've let it in the door far enough. How much work? I mean, how hard would it be to just throw the whole thing into AI?
Right. And like you say, that you don't want your artists spending all day making the night elves armor look a little different than in different tiers. They have bigger things they need to be doing. But again, it's still dancing around the we're using AI thing, because they're trying to, like you say, skirt the backlash. They don't want the backlash. And saying it in a way that makes it, oh no, just for the big stuff are the really small stuff, but everything you enjoy on a daily day basis, that's all human done. You know, it's almost like, don't look at me. You know, it's kind of like what they're saying.
Well, you covered last week just using AI to make promotional images for Doctor Who. I mean, this was just stuff that they were going to post on Instagram or something. And even that created a backlash that made headlines and they had to apologize for. So the sensitivity, certainly natural, but understandable how they kind of want to have their cake and eat it, too. Well, there were some changes more on the consumer end, the average user end, for artificial intelligence tools. And again, intrepid reporter Jason Nelson on the spot, catching these two announcements from two of the more popular AI tools available to the public, from Perplexity as well as OpenAI's ChatGPT. What did they tweak?
So ChatGPT rolled out a feature. And I don't know if you actually want to call it a feature as much as they took down the gate, where you can use ChatGPT without actually creating an account. You can use GPT 3.5. But if you want to do any of the more advanced stuff like DALL-E and uploading files and things like that, that ChatGPT can do, you need to have an account. And for some of that stuff, you also still need a monthly subscription. With Perplexity is, they hinted that they're going to be adding ads to the platform. The original report that came out was that it was a done deal and it's going to happen. But as we received from Perplexity's media relations, is that it's in talks, it's in discussions, it's, you know, something that may be down the road but not coming soon. So we still have to wait and see if that actually happens. But Perplexity is already open. You can use it without an account. You could use it pretty much wherever. They even have a mobile app. So this, for them, they already have the open user base. So it if they do it, it will definitely have to be a revenue type thing. You know, because that's the only reason I can see why they would have ads at this point.
Well, I mean, it comes down to the same reason why websites like ours have ads. You know, people are stingy. And if a service is available anywhere for free, then why would they go somewhere to pay for it? Well, I mean, both of these I thought were interesting. ChatGPT, probably the one your grandma's heard about, right? They have that mind share. But once you send someone to go look at it right now, they're like, oh, log in with your Google account or whatever. And most people are going to just hit that and be like, no, that's end of my interest in this product. So it makes sense that they're going to say, oh, just go ahead and try it now. It's like any good drug dealer. We'll give you a little taste. And hopefully you're going to come back. It's fascinating because that would probably increase the amount of interaction that they get with average people, which is valuable in terms of expanding their large language model and understanding what people want to know and use these tools for. You can, as you reported, prevent them from mining these free accesses for their LLM, but you got to go into the settings and turn that off. And how many people do you know go into the settings and turn anything off? So I think they're making a smart move here. The advertising thing on the Perplexity is fascinating because they're monetizing what is a decent user base, but it's certainly not like, you know, New York Times level traffic. So either it's going to be a very high rate because they're looking for advertisers who specifically want to reach users of AI, probably other AI tools will do the advertising, but will it be worth the kind of annoyance, or, as they pointed out, the questions that people will have as to, is advertising going to affect the quality of information I get out of this chatbot?
Well, they did say that with any type of advertisement, it wouldn't be something that is meant to influence the user. It wouldn't be something like, hey, buy this or go to this website or anything like that. It would be comparable to the site that you're currently on. which I think is helpful because it, you know, you don't want people going off to XYZ website and find out they got their computer infected with malware or something, you know, so you have to really tailor what it is you're putting in front of people.
Yeah, if it's direct sales, that makes sense. Like they're not going to put a Google AdSense ad block on there and they have no idea what kind of ads are going to show up. And when you ask Perplexity, hey, tell me how to start a conversation with the person I'm interested in starting a relationship with, and it just starts showing you inappropriate ads, for example. So maybe I can see them saying like, no, we're going to sell an ad specifically to a company that's making an AI tool for accountants. And every time someone asks a question about accounting, we want to show that ad. Like that kind of makes sense. Still though.
No, Ashley Madison ads.
All right. On the tool front, OpenAI has been experimenting with so many things. We talked about Sora, the video generator, a couple of weeks ago. Still very impressive, and of course not something anybody can play with yet if you're not on the team that's testing it. But our good friend Jose, who basically gets into the weeds on these tools at the technical level, wrote this story about Voice Engine from OpenAI, and kind of relevant to our first story about the voiceover actress.
Jose is back. Shout out to Jose. What I find interesting about these models is that these companies release them. They release them to pretty big fanfare, and then they say, okay, but the public can't use it because it's dangerous. I'm like, okay, well, stop. Like, why are you doing that? It's like teasing us. So this one, like only takes 15 seconds of audio recording to mimic that voice. If this got released to the public, we would have so much just cybercrime would go through the roof, more so than it already had. Because most of us, by now, in some form or another, have our voices on the internet, especially like people who are in the public.
Sure.
So you have a thing that I just need a 15-second clip. I go to whatever news site, don't come to ours and do that mess, and upload it to this thing, and you can make a chat bot that sounds just like me, right? And I have a very distinctive voice, and I don't like it either. So, you know, why would you make something like that and then come behind and say, oh, but we're aware of that it could be used inappropriately?
Well, I think it's interesting as to that point that this is also something that Meta did. Meta said, oh, we have a really, really, really good voice engine, but it's so dangerous, we're not even going to let anyone use it. We've decided to put it back in the box, but we just wanted to let you know how awesome we were. You can't validate it, but we were really good at it. Now, of course, OpenAI is specifically looking at the possible ways that it can be misused. And they're talking about ways to authenticate whether someone has given permission to have their voice used. But I mean, as any kid who's played with a VPN or a CAPTCHA to get around controls, it's probably not going to be too difficult to trick this system into thinking that it has permission. The examples were impressive though. So, Jose compares it to 11 Labs. Now, I use 11 Labs. In fact, I have a podcast that currently runs itself. It basically covers AI headlines, and it uses a version of my voice to read it, so I don't actually have to read it. But you can tell it's AI. It's kind of robotic and stilted. You know, it's not 100% natural. I had to give it like a 3-minute recording to kind of get a sense of what my voice is. So this OpenAI and the examples are impressive because it picks up your cadence, the way you pause, or the way you articulate and use tones in your voice and everything. And the example that really stood out, of course, was a person who had a brain tumor and lost her ability to speak fluently, but used this tool and could use a text-to-voice mechanism to speak fluently, even though she can't anymore. And they took a video that she had recorded for a school project. Like, you know, I'm make this presentation about this topic recorded on video. They took that audio, and so they have her voice, even though she no longer has her voice. So I did think that was compelling. It was worth checking out. But yeah, deep fakes are us is what we're talking about here.
Well, and heading towards a major, what some people are calling a life-shaking election, I don't know if this is the right time to be putting this out. maybe not right now. Maybe in December. How about that? You know
what? That's probably what they're planning. I mean, it would make sense to maybe keep this in that box until after the election. I totally hear you. Well, let's see. We got a few minutes left. Let's do one last story. You covered, this was Jose again. And this is just tangentially related to AI. It's about AI tokens. It's about crypto-ish, you know, blockchain basically tied to AI. I don't fully understand it, so I'm not even sure we can talk about it. What is happening with these three different AI-related tokens?
So you have Fetch AI, Celerity Net, and Ocean Protocol, who announced that they're going to be, they say merger, but it's more like a consortium called the, it's the AI... what do they call it? AI super, artificial super intelligence alliance is basically what it's called. And they're basically pulling their resources to create a mega company that has blockchain infrastructure, artificial intelligence infrastructure. It'd be like merging Hugging Face with IBM, that kind of thing. You know, it's major thing over here, major thing over here, put it together, even major thing, you know, it's like that.
Well, the key is that they're trying to go up against, quote, big tech, unquote, right? You know, you have Microsoft, Google, Amazon, all of these players, Apple getting into AI, and there's the fear that they will dominate the space to the point where independent / open source community-driven projects are going to just be, you know, in the dustbin of history. So they're basically saying, you know, we want to be able to have an alternative to those options. They talk about an alternative to existing AI projects.
Right. And I mean, I like the idea of decentralized AI development that kind of, like you say, keeps it out of the hands of a very small cabal of companies. I just don't know how powerful it would be compared to these other companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Microsoft, you know, these mega companies that turned their attention to AI and went full into it. But the decentralized part is, I think, their biggest selling part.
And so, that's certainly in line with what we cover at Decrypt, and something that cannot be controlled by a single party. And yes, there is a token aspect to it. And yes, after this announcement, the token went through the roof. Everybody was very excited about that. So you can get a piece of this super intelligent AI consortium if you want, or if you have the stomach for that kind of volatility.
Yeah, they AI tokens are down right now. But the whole market is down right now. So yeah,
we're all just waiting for the halving. That's all really what it all comes down to right now.
Exactly. We want to see where this thing goes.
Well, I know that this morning we're catching you in the middle of research on a couple of good stories already. If you want to let people know where to find out what we're working on, but we'll be signing off here at Decrypting AI. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us on Decrypting AI. If you'd like to follow along with us or any of our stories, I am at Dragon Wolf Tech on Twitter, and Ryan is at Hawaii. And then you can go to decrypt.co.
All right. Good to see you. See you next week, sir.
Have a good one.